Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nathan Ramsey. I'm Executive Director of Landis-Sky Regional Council, and thank you for joining us for our weekly COVID-19 call. Just some housekeeping measures before we get started. Just want to remind everyone that this call is being taped. So please be aware of that. Everyone that joins the call will be muted. So if you'd like to ask a question, then please enter that into the chat, or you can text me at 828-768-3216. That's 828-768-3216. Today's agenda, we're going to have, again, an update from the governor's office, and we thank Drew Christie for his willingness to share on these weekly calls. Drew's been wonderful, and we're so grateful for his support. Governor made an announcement yesterday, so Drew will provide some clarification on that and try to answer any questions people may have. And then we'll have updates from our public health directors in the region. So I think we're scheduled to have three of our county public health directors on this call. So I've seen a few of them join us. So I don't know if they're all on the call yet, but we have folks join the call as we speak. So we'll look for them. And after we hear a presentation from the governor's office, Chris Wall won't be with us this week. He's on vacation, but also Chris normally gives us a legislative update from the federal and state level. As you know, by reading the headlines, they're sort of at an impasse in DC regarding the next CARES Act package. But Chris, I think, will be able to join us next week. And certainly, I'm optimistic or hopeful that our leaders in DC will be able to reach an agreement that our states and our communities desperately depend on. So we'll hopefully have some more news next week, and maybe they've reached an agreement by that time. But I'd like to turn it over to Drew Christie, who's the Western representative for Governor Cooper, to give an update. And again, Drew, thanks for joining us on this call.
Thank you, Nathan, for having me, and thank you, Landis-Sky Regional Council, for hosting. And before I begin, I just want to wish a happy early birthday to the fearless leader, Nathan Ramsey. I believe his 40th birthday is tomorrow. So I want to give a shout out to Nathan for that one. Happy birthday, Nathan. As most of y'all saw yesterday, Governor Cooper made an announcement in regards to phase two, safer at home. And so I'll read a bit about it here. As students return to schools this month, North Carolina will remain paused in safer at home phase two for another 5 weeks. This is in keeping with our dimmer switch approach, and we will, and it will help keep us on a track of decreasing numbers, which will keep people healthier and boost our economy. Key openings are already occurring this month as some K-12 public school students return to classrooms in person, and many private schools open, and colleges and universities bring students back to campus. As people move around, so does this virus. Other states that have lifted restrictions quickly have had to go backwards as their hospital capacities ran dangerously low and their cases jumped higher. We will not make that mistake in North Carolina. While we are seeing the beginning of a downward trend, that does not mean we can let up with this virus. We know this stability is fragile, and these trends can quickly change if we let our guard down. And so that's why, you know, the mandatory mask order is still in place, and we always encourage people to remember the three W's: to wear your face coverings, to wash your hands frequently for at least 20 seconds, and to wait 6 feet apart. Experts believe that our mandatory mask order stabilized our numbers. And just last week, we added a curfew on alcohol sales to keep restaurants from turning into bars late night, which are high transmission areas. Now is the time to double down on these and other key safety measures. So again, you know, we want to make sure that our trends are moving in the correct direction. As of yesterday, our numbers, I don't have today's current numbers, but our numbers yesterday, we had overall 129,288 lab confirmed cases and 2,050 deaths. And again, these numbers are yesterday. And so there were 1,127 new cases reported yesterday. So I think Dr. Cohen said we're stabilizing at about a 7% positivity rate. And it's good that we're seeing these numbers stabilize, but we want to see that positivity rate of confirmed positive cases at about 4 to 5%. So that's what Dr. Cohen and Governor Cooper are looking for as we move forward. And so, again, we're in still in phase two for five more weeks after Friday. So with that, Nathan, I'll turn it back over to you. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to put them in the chat box and I'll answer them as I can, or text them or to Nathan and he'll pass them along to me and I'll try and answer them as I can. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you so much, Drew. We appreciate that update. I know, you know, it's good news that our positivity rate is not as high. I know we're hearing some numbers from other states of positivity rates of around 20%. Drew, do you know of that positivity rate of 7%? I know that's up from what it was a while back, but has that declined somewhat?
Yes.
Or is it stable?
Yeah, so I think last week and the prior 2 weeks, we were about at 10 or 9% positivity rates. So those numbers have slowly come down and stabilized about 7. And again, that's great. That's very good news, but we want to get those numbers down to about 4 to 5%. And that decrease from 9 or 10% has a lot to do with the mandatory mask coverings. And so it's taken about 2 weeks, but we're seeing the effects of the mandatory mask coverings on that.
Well, thank you, Drew, for that update. And anyone has a question for Drew, certainly enter that in the chat box, or you can also text me at 828-768-3216. I think Drew has shared his email address in the past, but maybe, Drew, you can share your email address if folks want to reach out to you directly with any questions. We have some of our region's public health directors, so I'll turn it over to them. And before I forget, thank you, Drew, for the happy birthday wishes. I guess it beats the alternative. So maybe one day you'll catch up with me. But I think we have Dr. Jennifer Mullendore with Buncombe County Public Health on our call. And I want to see if I can turn it over to her. I'm not sure if Director Saunders was able to join us today, but I'll turn it over to Dr. Mullendore. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, I don't see Stacy on the call. She and I have been frantically trying to like update her with what's going on in Buncombe. She clearly has a great understanding and foundation as a health director, but learning what's going on in Buncombe. Honestly, I'm gonna be like, I've been so focused. We're revamping and reinstituting our community testing sites, ready for opening up back on Sunday, and so I have been deep in that. But I like was mentioned about the state, you know, the numbers starting to come down. We've seen that as well on our epi curve, but, and I mentioned it to commissioners the other day, but I'm not, you know, that can turn at any point. But I'm hopeful, that all our efforts around face coverings and social distancing have really had an impact. So I don't really have much to say. I'll turn it over to the other real health directors who might be on the call to see what they want to say.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mullendore. I don't know if you can provide us an update. I know Buncombe County was had proposed, I think, enacted an ordinance to cut off alcohol sales or liquor sales earlier to try to prevent some of the congregation. Can you provide us an update? I guess that was a concern to what Drew was referring to at the state level. I think you muted yourself.
Yeah, I got it. So we had a conversation this morning about it. We're still determining what we're going to do. We talked about all our different options. We're still trying to figure it out. I think the concern is that we have expressed is 11 o'clock still seems a little too late. That, after it's to us based on complaints and observation, it seems that, maybe after 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock is when those restaurants kind of start turning, some of those restaurants, not all, but some restaurants start turning into more of a bar scene, even though they're not, bars are not supposed to be open. And so that's some of our concern is that is 11 o'clock early enough. So we're still figuring it out. Commissioner Newman will talk a little bit more about that in our 3 o'clock community update today.
And Dr. Mullendore, I know you got your plate full and appreciate you taking time to join us. We're grateful for the leadership of all our public health leaders and certainly as medical director for Buncombe County. The community testing, I think Winch's and Western North Carolina Community Health Services have been working with Buncombe County to provide that. There was some pullback, I think, just because of capacity and staffing. Is there an effort to try to increase testing, or do you see, and what we've heard, previous calls nationwide and at the state level, we're still seeing on our ability to test individuals just because of supplies and the number of clinicians available to do that and other things. Can you provide a little update on that?
Our community testing sites, the most recent version that we had open, were very popular. We were seeing easily over 300 people a day, three times a week. And yeah, the capacity was just, it was just too much for our local, like you said, Western North Carolina Community Health Services to handle from a staffing and just even just a storage capacity. And so they're working on actually, they've done some configuration, are working on doing more smaller scale testing in community. And so we as a county took on doing this more drive-through testing. Our criteria are going to be what the state's criteria are, and we're instituting a process where people will get pre-screened and pre-registered before they show up to the testing site in an effort to make sure that the right people are getting tested, meaning the people that meet criteria, and in an effort to avoid people having to wait 2 hours in their car to get seen. And so we're going to be announcing those details today, but essentially people will use our self-checker that's been up and running for months now as the route in to make sure they meet criteria for testing. And then if they choose to come to one of our testing sites, they'll click a link and enter all their information to get them registered. And so we can order the lab, and then they'll get a phone call to get their actual appointment at the testing site. And so, we're sure there will be some, there's always, when you're instituting a new process, there's always a few kinks, we're gonna open that, see people on Sunday for our testing site at AB Tech. So we're keeping the same locations, keeping the same hours, but the process has changed in an effort to be more friendly to the people getting tested, but also to enable us to kind of control the volume a little better. And what I would say about testing in general is there are a lot of providers. I can only speak to Buncombe, but there are a lot of providers, primary care providers, urgent cares, pharmacies, health systems, hospital systems who are offering testing. But yet we have heard that some of their capacity is getting overwhelmed, and so people are having to schedule days out. I know several clinics have switched to using different labs to ensure they get better turnaround time. I know that LabCorp's turnaround time has improved. I've heard 2 to 3 days is back to where they're at now. So could there be more testing that's more accessible to people? Yes, always. And I think right now it's really trying to make sure that the people who need tested are getting tested, and that those labs are able to, you know, have the capacity to do rapid turnaround time. Because when we're getting results 7 to 10 days after somebody went to get tested, that really doesn't help us from a public health standpoint contain the spread as well as we would like.
And finally, Mission Health has indicated, and some of our hospitals have indicated, you know, they're seeing the highest number of patients that are hospitalized due to COVID-19. Good news is that they still have capacity to handle more cases. What do you attribute from the medical director standpoint those hospitalizations to? Is that a lagging indicator of the spread, or could you provide any clarification there?
It's something we've definitely been watching, and yes, we've been, you know, it has been a slow kind of like steady increase. Like it would increase and then plateau for a while, and then increase in plateau, which has been much better to see than what, you know, we've seen in those other states where it was like exponential overwhelming of their healthcare systems. It's been interesting to as the shift in cases, you know, we've been talking more recently about younger adults being the ones we're seeing more cases. The thought was, well, then, you know, those tend to be healthier people. And so maybe our hospitalizations, we won't see as much. But we also know that when younger people have it, or more people have COVID, then it can spread more easily to the people that are at higher risk for hospitalization. So, it's sort of, you know, people to get hospitalized, you have to get really sick, right? So it does tend to lag behind in terms of like, it can take some time after you get exposed to COVID and are infected to get sick enough to go to the hospital. You're right. We have capacity in the region. And I think that if we can just keep pushing the message to get people to, you know, stay away from others outside their household, wear their face coverings and socially distance, we can keep that controlled and not turn into what we've seen in other states.
Well, certainly that's a positive sign. We've seen, you know, what's happened in Florida, Arizona, earlier in New York, and I think even California right now, some places are struggling. So, you know, we've seen those challenges in other states. We have some representatives of our local hospitals on this call, but maybe in the future I will try to get an update from them. But Dr. Mullendorf, thank you so much for joining us. And whenever Director Sanders has the opportunity, we'd love for her to join us, and hope she, I know she's taken this role on in a difficult time, but I know she's aware of North Carolina. I think she came from Alamance County. So we welcome her to our region. And again, thank you for all the work that you and your team are doing from a public health standpoint. I think we have Tammy Cody with Madison County on the call. Tammy's director of Madison County Public Health. Tammy, could you give us an update from Madison County?
Yes, thank you for inviting me to join you today. And I would add that we are very excited to have Stacy Saunders in our region. So we spend, just like the other health departments, a significant amount of time doing education and providing guidance to our community partners. And in the last couple of weeks, we've spent a lot of time working with our school system and with the university here in Madison County. I will share that I met with the school board and the superintendent on Monday, and our numbers have been very low in Madison County. But just prior to me walking into this meeting, I was notified that our first, we've had some children be positive, but they've ended up transferring to other counties. They were here visiting. But a school-aged child that would have been in our school system tested positive. And so if we were to fast forward 2 weeks, instead of me coming to talk with them about the statistics, I would have been calling the superintendent with, we have a positive, let's lock down this classroom, let's start notifying parents that we now have exposed children. And so we went through a real-world exercise of what this will look like. After processing and looking at the stats, Madison County made the decision to go with a modified BC plan that for 1 week, they're going to try to bring the kids in at half capacity. And some people say, well, why would you even do that? Well, we do have kids that haven't used computers and haven't used tablets, so they will pick up their devices. They will learn the schedule of the day and where on the device you start with your spelling words and where you go your sciences next. And if they get that in the first day, they don't need to come back. And if parents are very uncomfortable with even coming in those few days, they can do it from Zoom in their homes. After that first week, our teachers will be teaching from 9 to 2 every day via Zoom. And those lessons will be recorded. So while I'm at work, if my 11-year-old has trouble with her math lesson, it's recorded. I don't get home till late, but we could go back and review that math lesson and figure out how I can support her. So that decision was announced yesterday. And of course, we have some people that are very happy and some that are not as happy with it. We continue in our county to do weekly EOC meetings and strike team meetings with our long-term care facilities. Just we've been so blessed, but we want to not let our guard down and continue to have plans in place of how quickly we can react should there be an issue. We're also meeting with our EPI team. We continue with contact tracing, and every so often, and this has been a rough week of people who have not wanted to be cooperative, of trying to explain to us it's not our business and they don't want to talk to us and share contacts, and that's very frustrating. And then we've had some cases of people that we've told to quarantine and they've decided that they didn't like that idea either. So that's very time consuming and very frustrating. In the last 10 days, we've definitely had an uptick in cases in Madison County, and we've started seeing asymptomatic cases, and so that is concerning. In the last couple of weeks, we have had our first hospitalizations in a 10-day period, and in both cases, it was older individuals, and they didn't feel well and tried to tough it out, and by the time they went to the hospital, they were both admitted with bilateral COVID pneumonia, so we really wish they would have gotten there earlier. They were both given the remdesivir and the high-dose steroids. One of them, after the steroids, his O2 sat did improve and he could maintain it about 90, and so he was released. His wife is a very experienced nurse and he's on real high oxygen, but he still struggles to keep his O2 at 90, so we call every morning for a check-in with him. And tragically, the other individual did not survive, and so that was our first death in the county. We have been trying desperately to get a hold of a rapid test, and the FQHC in our county got a quote yesterday, and wow, I was greatly taken back by what she shared with me on being able to access a rapid test, the cost with it. And then even if we could come up with the funds for that, there's about a 12-week backlog now. And, you know, who knows what will happen as that moves forward. I've also learned that several of the suppliers are predicting that there's going to be a shortage of gloves. So I've got our admin staff now looking to try and find gloves so we can get ahead of that, but that is concerning. Other than that, we're just moving forward and trying to remain positive and working, and are very thankful for this group and for all of our community partners.
Thank you so much, Director Cody. I know I've heard the cost of testing is a challenge in some cases, like if someone's asymptomatic, someone wants testing, insurance may or may not pay for that if the person does is insured. If they don't have insurance, then certainly there's no payer source. I've heard, you know, around $100 per test, which is, you know, if you're trying to do a lot of testing, that could be costly to a business or individual or family. Can you provide an update on that, or has that been a barrier to you?
No, we are working. The state will give us free tests, but there's specific criteria to get a state test. We also work with LabCorp, and they are willing to bill on the back end to help get some COVID money. We work with Mako, but Mako requires insurance or that we pay up front, and of course, we don't have the budget for that. So that's another thing. Before we provide the test, we have to go through which avenue do we go to provide the test for each individual. The tests do run about $75 to $80. So it has been, it's definitely time consuming to figure out the route we need to go. And doing the community events, sometimes we've had 140 people show up. And so that's exhausting, all the paperwork required.
Well, thank you for the update. It's been good news that, you know, you've had a very low case rate in Madison County. I understand it's coming up a little bit now. So, and so sorry to hear about the first death from Madison County due to COVID-19. I'll now turn it over to Elaine Russell, Director of Public Health in Transylvania County. And Director Russell, thank you for joining us today. I know your schedules are extremely busy, but can you give us an update from Transylvania County?
Yes, thank you so much for the invitation to participate in the meeting today. Transylvania County, much like Madison County, our numbers have been slower to grow. Our data update that went out yesterday, thankfully we had no new cases yesterday. That was always a happy day and moment. To date, as of yesterday, we have 134 total cases, and we've had 10 hospitalizations since the start of COVID. And very sadly, we too have had one death that occurred about 6 weeks ago, and our thoughts and prayers remain with that family. Overall, for our county, yesterday, we were at a 7% positive rate, but we expect that to drop down a couple of percentage points today. In totality, we've executed in this county, all providers total, 3,167 tests. And we had 2,977 that came back negative. 56 were in pending status yesterday. So numbers roll forward every day. We are very appreciative of the collaboration and spirit in this county to step forward and play ball with the three W's. Everything has not been perfect, but overall this community has been a good partner in prevention and worked through that. We saw our greatest impact in the month of July. I share with folks that on the afternoon of July 2nd, we had 23 cases. When we closed out the month of July, we were around 130 cases. So needless to say, we have burned the candle at both ends in this health department in the month of July. Between case investigations, contact tracing, data management, follow up to ensure that our positive cases had the wraparound services that they needed. It has been an all hands on deck response. I'm very proud of the work that my agency has done, and I'm very proud of this community for stepping forward and the way that they have to do the best that they can to play ball with the prevention measures and the parameters of working in the new time of COVID. It is a challenge. We are going to be on Plan B, a mix of in-person learning and remote learning with our school system. We have been working very closely with our school system to prepare for this, and I'm actually meeting with my school nurses later this afternoon. We were at the school administration in-service that started their kickoff week back. So we are brainstorming and thinking through the various scenarios that we know will come up as we re-engage this significant portion of our community system response. But I do think it is the right thing to step forward and provide this classroom time for as long as we possibly can for our children, because we have, all communities have vulnerable children that no one's had eyes on since March. And being able to restart the school system in some capacity gives us a chance to have eyes on those most vulnerable children, and also to have a drilled in opportunity to be sure that everybody's on the same page with technology. I hope we make it for many weeks and many months, but it will be a evolution of the situation and the data. So I feel like we have really good partnerships and we're poised to handle whatever comes our way in that regard here in Transylvania County. With regard to testing, we've had some great collaboration from Blue Ridge Health Center out of their Brevard office. Michelle Hogsett and her staff have been an outstanding partner for doing testing in some targeted areas and really making sure that we had the collaboration and resources to reach into our African-American population for testing, into our Latinx community for testing, and then also partnering with our long-term care strike force for our agency that's working with our six facilities here in the county. So again, we cannot get through this as an individual health department. We are deeply dependent and appreciative of the collaborations that come forward across all of our partners. That is the only way we will get through this, and I think we all know that we have months of this ahead of us, and the only way we can get through it is together. So that's a real quick update from Transylvania County. Any questions?
Director Russell, thank you again for joining us, and I appreciate your leadership and leadership of the other health care leaders who join us on today's call. You know, normally this is a busy time in Transylvania County. You have a lot of visitors from all over the country and really all over the world will come to your beautiful county. Have you noticed with the uptick in visitors any additional public health challenges, or have people been adhering to the three W's, at that time?
We have generally seen adherence to that. I think some individuals that come to us as tourists, partaking of this beautiful community and the hospitality of it, we don't always see as great a compliance just in the general ebb and flow of tourists that you may see on the sidewalks. Our businesses overall have held a firm line about it coming into their shops and businesses using the mask and the social distancing. We have noticed in our trends from our case investigations, the majority of our cases in the month of July were travel influenced, be that individuals here locally who traveled to see family, traveled for business, or traveled for vacation, were exposed and converted to positive when they came back, or individuals here that hosted folks or family that they knew that wanted to come here and visit and rejoin old friends, and they unfortunately brought COVID with them. So we've had, that has been our predominance of what has driven our July work, has been travel linked. We have not at this time seen significant community spread. We've had a very few cases where we have not been able to determine the source. Could have been that somebody was around someone who was asymptomatic, and that's how they contracted it. But time will tell if we're going to continue, because we continue to have tourist season into the fall with the beautiful leaf colors. So I hope our luck will hold in that regard, but I think we just have to continue to be focused on the prevention and the three W's. That's honestly our greatest tool at this point to mitigate the impact of COVID, because we are probably months away from access to a vaccine, at least in rural communities.
Director Russell, you had mentioned, and I didn't ask the other healthcare leaders, but I know the state had began an initiative to try to test everyone in our long-term care facilities and those in our state prisons and jails, because we know those congregate living areas are at high risk. And certainly the workers and the residents of our long-term care facilities have been under a stressful time. Our thoughts and prayers go out to them at this time. Is there anything else we can do to better support them? Because I know, they've been under the gun all the time with this virus.
The state's contract with CVS Pharmacy, the testing wing of CVS Pharmacy, is rolling out across the state in various stages to do one-time testing in the long-term skilled nursing facilities. A little bit of that has started to happen here in Western North Carolina. I know that in Transylvania County, my first facility will come up on August 10th. We had honestly already partnered with Blue Ridge Health to go in and test all of the residents and staff in that facility. We already have it done. Now, certainly we encourage that facility to keep CVS on the books and let them come in and retest everybody on the 10th. It's just one more piece in their monitoring program. But I think we will need to be very supportive of our skilled workers and support staff that are in our elder care and long-term care facilities. They have a very critical and tough job taking care of our community's most vulnerable citizens. And they just need our thanks every day for what they're doing, because it's not just the technical work, but it's also the emotional toll and the emotional support that they are having to give to these elders that are very isolated in these long-term care and elder care situations. That isolation is for their own protection, but it puts an additional layer of tasking and heartfelt work on the part of the individuals that are in there working in those facilities every day. So when you see these folks out in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood, please just give them an extra thank you for the difference that they are making and the prevention commitment that they have. Overall, in Western North Carolina, we have done exceptionally well with that. And I would like to see us carry through that into the winter, because as we all know, starting in October, we have flu season. And when we lay flu and COVID on top of one another, we are looking at some very complicated and challenging months ahead for us.
That's a sobering reminder, Director Russell. I've heard national public health leaders speak about the challenge when flu season comes. We were hoping we'd have a little break this summer. I don't know if we've had much of a break, and the fear that what happens when flu season is laid on top of COVID-19 could be very challenging. Certainly want to salute all of our healthcare providers. I know we at Advent Health, Mission Health, and in part of UNC Healthcare, but also those long-term care facilities, our primary care facilities, and also our public health leaders. You see those signs where it says heroes work here, and that's really not an overstatement at this time. That's definitely true. And I know we did have one individual, I know it, that worked at a long-term care facility in our region, who contracted COVID-19 and passed away. So we just need to think of them. I think Director Smith with Henderson County has had some technical difficulties and has been unable to join our call. And so we'll try to, if his schedule allows, we'll try to reach out and see if he can join us on a future call. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but if anyone does have any questions or things, they can certainly reach out to me at nathan@landofsky.org. We have our COVID-19 resource page on our Land of Sky website. We try to connect you with community resources, and we do have recordings of these calls. We try to place them on that website. So there may be a little lag in doing that, but we'll try to have that for a reference if you need to go back and look at those resources. we're very grateful for the leaders from Madison County, Transylvania County, and Buncombe County joining us. And again, we Director Smith, we'll try to get him on a future call. So that probably my fault there. So I apologize for that. But I will give you the rest of your day. So we'll try to end this call a little early. But again, we want to just give a shout out to our public health leaders. We'll continue to have these weekly calls as long as I think our region finds them valuable. And so we hope to have critical topics that we can address and share information. And so if you have any topics that you would like us to address on one of the future calls, you know, certainly reach out to me and we'll try to address that. So we want everyone to stay safe and stay well. Have a great rest of your day. And again, thank you for joining us. And we'll try to reach out to Director Smith in Henderson County at a future time when he can join. And again, that's my fault. I apologize that he was unable to join. That's on me. So thank you all so much. Have a wonderful day. And thank you for joining today's call.